أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الخلق وأعز المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى جميع أنبياء الله والمرسلين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. صلى على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
My dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
قال الله سبحانه وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا. And those who struggled for our sakes, we will guide them to our way. That is the promise from Allah for those who choose to struggle for the sake of Allah. And in another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and particularly addressed the youth. Allah addressed the youth and praised the youth who are on the straight path. And he praised them with an ayah that the believers repeat time after time, generation after generation, until يوم القيامة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم. They are young men and young women. They are young females and young males. They are young adolescents. They believe in their Lord. Then their Lord increased their iman and guided to him.
Subhanallah.
Guided them to him. إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ فَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدًى. And another hadith by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad.
He says, Allah loves the young man and the young woman who are believers. And Allah hates the old men and the old women who are non-believers. And Allah loves the young men and the young women who are wise and intelligent, and they use their brain in order to reach the best way for Ridha Allah. And Allah loves and Allah hates the senior who are trying to make themselves young by adapting al-jahl ways and the ignorant ways and the mischief. Yani, What is that supposed to mean? You see, a man, he is 60 years old, 70 years old, you know, and then he acts like he is, as if he is 14 or 15. Allah does not like that. And you see a young man who is 14 and 15, and he has the brain, and he has the mind, and he has the common sense of an old wise man. Allah loves that. And you see a young woman, especially those young women whom Allah blessed with their wonderful feminine features, and then these women choose to be mu'minat, qanitat, sadiqat, sabirat, lillahi dhakirat, sa'imat, mutasaddiqat, dhakirina lillahi kathiran wa dhakirat. And Allah loves them. And Allah praises them. And Allah protects them. And Allah feels proud of them and argue with the angels about their elevated status. I want to address with you something very important tonight about Islam and its look to women. Because there is a lot of myth we want to break tonight in this discussion. Prior to the appearance of Islam in its last message, because Islam appeared from the time of Adam, put that in your mind. Islam did not exist when Muhammad came, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Islam started from the time Adam landed on earth. During Ibrahim's time, there was Islam, and the prophet of Islam at that time, it was Ibrahim, alayhi salam. And during Nuh's time, there was Islam, and the prophet of Islam at that time was Nuh. And during Musa, there was Islam, and the prophet of Islam at that time was Musa, alayhi salam. And during Isa's time, there was Islam, and the prophet of Islam at that time was Isa, alayhi salam. So was Yaqub, wa Israel, wa Bani Israel, wa Dhul Kifl, wa Yash. Islam is one package deal.
Yes,
a universal religion that no one, those who are guests our night, in order to report to their bosses what we say, we tell them we welcome you in our blessed spiritual centers. And we might pray for you that Allah will guide you. But I, with this humble responsibility that I have on my shoulder, I could assure everyone and tell every organization and every intelligent organization and every country and every state, Islam was born to live forever and nobody will be able to put it.
Takbir!
Allahu Akbar!
Allahu Akbar!
Allahu Akbar!
Why? Because the vein to Islam is Al-Qur'an. Al-Qur'an is the everlasting miracle of Islam. Allah Himself vowed to protect it. And Islam as a religion that appeared from the time of Adam until today, Allah promised that it will prevail all over the world. And I could assure you and assure everyone who is interested, for different reasons, for whatever purpose, it will prevail, not by force, not by conquer, not by the sword. It will prevail by the good word and the kind behavior and the sincere action when people like you who are on good straight path propagate it through their action.
Yes, sir.
And it will also prevail ultimately when our awaited most beloved person in the world today, our Imam Al-Mahdi, salamullahi alayhi.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali
Muhammad. What will Fajr?
Wa'ad Allahu alladhina amanu minkum. It's a promise from Allah. Wa'ad, Allah promised. Wa man asdaqu min Allahi haditha. How can someone challenge Allah in His promise? Who can challenge Allah and His promise? Who can be more honest and truthful than Allah Himself when He says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of those believers will make them khulafa, rulers, leaders, a'imma on earth, like He have done it to the other believers before. And we know from the time of Adam, not one single prophet or imam ruled the earth except me. And the third is coming, al-Imam al-Mahdi salamu alayhi.
Allah salamu
alayhi. It's Mizdaq al-Ayah. This is the truthfulness of al-Ayah. كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Like He have done to the one before, to the believers before. And Allah says, He will deep root the authority of this believer to rule. And then He will spread this religion to every corner in the world, to every nation, to every community, to every house. And Allah promised that He will change your worries and your instabilities and your insecurity into total peace and security when Al-Imam comes. This is the day that we are waiting for. And in the meantime, we cannot sit and waste time. We need to be worthy to be a follower of Al-Imam al-Mahdi, whether you are a man or a woman. Those whom Allah gave them the opportunity to run things in the absence of Al-Imam, and who have failed in accepting this responsibility, and who have misused their position and misused malullah, the money of God, and misused ruling ibadullah, I can assure you will not have that opportunity when He comes. Why? Because in their resume, there was not a good behavior. And some common sense, when you want to go apply to a company, they don't accept you without knowing what you have done. They have to look at your achievement. They want to tell you why you want to work. Well, most, for those who want to go apply for a new job, there are three questions you always need to have the answer for. And that could be beneficial for every one of you. Three questions. First, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What do you represent? What are your qualifications? Second question, they will ask you, why do you want this job? Right? Why are you interested in this job? Is it something to full time? To entertain yourself? Why? This job interests you? You have motivation to do something about it? And the third question, the most important, what can you do to improve the company? What can you do to the company? What are the talents that you have? And I could tell you, humbly speaking, that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will not going to be any different from this process. It is not by our wishful thoughts that you need to go to heaven. Al-Jannah will not be gained by only a wishful thought. A wishful thought always remains a what? A wishful thought. And also, be true to yourself. You might cheat me about your iman. You might cheat your brothers and sisters about your iman. You might cheat yourself about your iman. But you cannot cheat God with your iman.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
محمد وعلي محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلي محمد.
جري It's not this one, it's the other one.
محمد وعلي محمد سلام.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلي محمد.
We hear every once in a while this American song is rocking. That's it. You could fool some of the people all the time. And you could fool sometimes all the people. But you cannot fool all the time, all the people. And if there is a miracle and you fool all the time, all the people, you cannot fool Allah.
Yes, sir.
Al-Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam tells us in his prayer.
Allahumma salli ala
Muhammad. It's not here.
Salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
For the brothers, maybe tonight with the donation that you had, you will establish a better microphone system. I came here last 2 years and.
No, it's not here.
I think that it is the surcharge of Ali Imam.
I hate to get rid of it.
Salawat. Al-Imam al-Sadiq salamullahi alayhi said, Inna Allah la yughashu fi jannatin. Allah will not be cheated about his paradise. And Al-Quran says, وَلَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَلَا يُلْقَاهَا or يُلَقَّاهَا. Al-ha in this Arabic word belongs to Al-Jannah. It was taken out, but it is well known. And in the Arabic language, you could speak by taking the pronoun out because it's well known. And that's the secret for us when we say, when we are sitting on the ground, and then we want to stand up and we say, Ya Ali. Some Muslims who follow other school of thoughts, they will be alarmed. They think that we are mushrikeen. In actuality, you are saying, Ya Allah, I ask you by Ali to help me get up. That's what it means. That's what it means. But that's what you should educate yourself on that meaning. Because in the Quran it says, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا. It is better to always, with the permission of Imam Ali alayhi salam, always mention Allah's name when you move, when you sit, when you stand. Why? It's an act of Iman. And if you love Al-Imam, say, Ya Allah, I ask you by Abul Hassan, by Haidar, by Ali, by Fatih al-Bab, the guy who opened the door, you know what that means. But never take the presence of Allah from your system. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. You always remember Allah and mention the name of Allah. While you are sitting, while you are standing, while you are walking, while you are laying down, while you are doing whatever you want to do, let your heart mention the name of Allah. Why? First of all, it's a sign of your iman. Second, it's a cleansing process for all your sins. Third, it's a reason for Allah to love you more specifically. Allah loves al-mu'mineen wal-mu'minat who always mention His name. I don't have the time right now to tell you what happened when Allah loves you specifically. And there is no need for me to explain to you what happened. But I know it is your objective to know that Allah loves you specifically. And if Allah loves you specifically, He says, Allah says, ما يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل والذكر. My servant, my creature, the believer, man and woman, consistently is getting closer to me by doing the extra work on his own, by doing the dhikr continuously, until he becomes the vision that I see through, and the hearing that I hear through, and the thinking that I think through. I'm not saying that, that's what hadith. Another one, it says, Ya Abdi, O my servant, obey me. Obey me, and you shall be like me. تَقُلْ مِثْلِي أَوْ مَثَلِي. Wow. تَقُلْ الشَّيْءِ كُنْ فَيَكُنْ. All your wishes, legitimate wishes, will come true. We go back to original subject. Prior to Islam, the position of woman in the world was a miserable one. And not only the position of woman, I can assure you, the position of men was also a miserable one. However, men at that time, they were rulers. They were ruling women. Although these times were called ignorant times, why did they call it ignorant times? عصر الجاهلية. Because every sin in the book was committed in the daytime without any shame. And a dhulm, an oppression, was overwhelming. And among those creatures who were totally oppressed were the women. During the pre-Islamic times, there were two empires ruling the earth, the Persian Empire and the Roman Empire. And prior to the educational system of Islam, there was the Greek philosophy, and there was the Persian civilization, and there was the Roman power and authority. During that time, philosophers were arguing whether woman is an animal or a human. Imagine this time of ignorance. During that time, prior to the appearance of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa
alayhi,
woman has no right whatsoever. They have no right to say who they want to be with. They have no right to vote. They have no right in the tribal decision making. They have no right to own. They have no right for land, no right for any property. When a man marries a woman, she becomes his servant. And if another man conquers him, she automatically becomes the owner of the new one. And when the father passes away, all the wives of the previous fathers, the son will inherit them. Terrible life system and terrible way of life. And it was a society at that time where people fight each other for the most ridiculous reason. And it was okay for people to kill each other just for a sip of water. And it's not only that, it was considered an act of heroism and bravery. This is the condition of the people at that time. In order not to kill her nurse, they say, well, we have a mercy on the young, newborn female. We don't want to kill her, but they bury her alive. Imagine this. This is why when Allah sent Al-Quran, sent this amazing, loud, shocking ayah, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَةُ about يوم القيامة. The one that you buried on the day on the judgment when Allah will ask بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَ for what sin that this newborn made or committed that she will be killed or buried. This is the position of woman at that time. And Al-Jahiliyyah is coming again nowadays. Why? In the tribal society, in the pre-Islamic society, women used to be rented. Wives used to be exchanged. Wives was bought and sold and rented. Prostitution was a way of life. Good earning, 8 hours of good work was a shameful act. This is the society that women lived in. And then Islam came. And our Rasul appeared. And then he said to everyone, there is no difference for al-thawab wal-iqab between the man and the woman. And Al-Quran came with its revolution that brought dignity to every soul, man and woman. Ya ayyuhan nas, ayah will always sound, always in our hearts and in our mind, in our soul until yawmul qiyamah. And we say this ayah for the Persians and the Arabs and the Christians and the Australians and all the people in the world. Ya ayyuhan nas, O you people, we have created you, females and males. And we have made you different peoples and different nationalities and different tribes so you may know each other. And you may exchange relationship with each other. And in that process, the best among you to Allah is not the most beautiful, nor the whitest, nor the darkest, nor the one who is good shape or bad shape, nor the yellow, nor the Asian, or the Caucasian, or the American, or the African. The best among you is the one whose conduct is the best and whose heart is the cleanest. Inna akramakum inda Allah atqakum. This is the slogan that Islam came with, and it should and it will, based on this slogan, survive forever. This particular principle that Islam declared for man and woman made the swift change in the Jahiliyyah. Ripped the old ways out, threw it in the garbage of history, and renew and rejuvenated the values. And the newborn was protected. And the woman was protected. And the wife was protected. And the young girls were protected. And the good innocent people were protected in Islam. And Al-Quran came with the sounding ayah, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْمُتَّقِينَ وَالْصَادِقِينَ وَالصَّادِقَاتِ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقَاتِ وَالصَّائِمِينَ وَالصَّائِمَاتِ وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا والذاكرات والحافظين لفروجهم والحافظات. Allah said the good deeds that's been committed by men and women, whether it is beliefs, and whether it is dhikr, whether it is siyam, whether it is salah, whether it is sadaqah, whether it is chastity, whether it is basefulness, whether it is haya, on all the values of al-akhlaq that Islam established, did not differentiate in the act between men and women, and promised the same thawab for each one.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Islam caused the revolution, and the men revolted at that time. And they would come to Rasulullah and say, she has the right to have her own money? He says, yes. He says, how could you do this? He says, I'm not the one who done this, Allah. Then he established the change. And he gave the woman the right to decide whom she wants to be with. And he managed by force. It is invalid marriage until the woman say yes. And also gave the right for women to inherit like the man. And also protect the financial privacy for the woman. She has the right to own. She has the right to trade. She has the right to rent the services of men if she wants to and she can afford it. And Islam, when he sets a slogan, when he puts a principle, he does not leave it ambiguous. He doesn't leave any room for anyone to say, ha-ha, how could that be? What should I do? How can I apply it? Why? Rasulullah is an excellent example. He applied it. Khadija applied it. When Islam tells you there is no difference between black and white, Persian or Arab, American or non-American, when it comes to the law, you see the actualization when we sit together, praying shoulder to shoulder. No one in the masjid will say, I cannot accept this guy or I want this guy. Am I right or am I right?
Yes, sir.
If you want to know what the humanity is and the equality in Islam is all about, and when the equal opportunities for every creature is all about, all what you gotta do is go to Al-Hajj Yom Arafah and observe the miracle.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
Observe the great human family sitting together where all the economic differences dissolve, where all master and servant relationship disappear,
Subhanallah.
Where all the differences in the looks washes itself away. You see more than 2 or 3 million people with 2 pieces of textile clothes standing there, the white, the black, the Asian, the American, the Australian, you name it, together equally standing as a creature for Allah, praising Allah. You could never establish such equality among people like this ritual and like this occasion.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
Go to Al-Hajj and see what Islam is all about. And go to Islam, to Al-Hajj, and see what woman in Islam is all about. So, Islam came and gave the woman the right to own, the right to vote, the right to inherit, the right to her privacy. The right to her privacy. And when the man who is marrying a woman, if she has her own money and he marries her, it's up to her if she wants to lend it. It's an act of akhlaq if you do, without end. Maybe you request some salawat ala
Muhammad.
It's an act of jihad for you. But you have no right to take her money. No right. You have no right to pressure her. You have no right to mentally abuse her. You have no right to physically abuse her. You have no right to make her live under unbearable circumstances. You have no right to force her for al ma'siyah of Allah. There is no obedience for any makhluk if it is disobedience to Allah. It nullifies itself and it cancels itself. I've got sisters, you know, I've learned something over 28 years of being humbly a Muslim activist. Some sisters would complain to me and say, my husband is forcing me to take a hijab off. It's a tragedy. My husband is forcing me to go to the nightclub with him. My husband is forcing me to sell alcohol to his friends and business associates. That's haram. This is a sinful act. It's a problem. You cannot force your wife or your sister or your daughter to take a hijab off. And I am telling the sister, you don't have to obey your husband in that sense. Because it is your own personal responsibility to protect your religion and to protect your iman and to protect your commitment to Allah. And for getting out safe out of this place, I could also tell you, so men does not revolt against me, there are certain cases where the sisters abuse their relationship with their men. If you have fear of Allah, and if you believe in Allah, and if you want to really show off Yawmul Qiyamah with your Al-Mu'mina should have a good common sense. Do not put pressure on your husband, economic pressure, demanding pressure, more than what he can handle. Do not close your eyes and close your thoughts about the situation that you live in. One of the greatest attributes to a mu'min, man or woman, they should have a good management to their resources. Because Al-Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Al-Mu'min, whether man or woman, kayyisun fatin. Fatin means he's smart. He thinks properly. He acts wisely. It doesn't make sense at all that if you have $100 for the rest of the week, you burn it in 1 hour. That's called, in our school of thought, hamaka, stupidity. And you say, Allah will provide you more. If you have children, if you have a home, if you have a snow, you need to think. You need to budget. You need to find out the priority. You need to have priority. You need to train yourself, man and woman. But I want to put the emphasis to the sisters because this whole economic structure in the country we're living in geared to activate every possible passion for the woman to consume. When I go to the mall to buy something, for God's sake, I hardly see any place for men to shop. Truly. I look around, even when you go to the mall, the first thing you go to the entrance, there is no men product. It's always the woman. How many shoes you want to have? One brother took me to his house one day and he opened the closet and I was shocked. There were 428 pair of shoes. If she has to wear a shoes every day, there's only 365 days. You hear on the TV there are some men or women become addicted to what's so called shopping. They don't need the product. Just because there is a sale on it, they buy it. It becomes psychologically, ooh, it was $106. Look, you took it. What are you going to do with it? There's no place in the house to put it. You hear on the TV some of the problems of some family where there is no room in their house because they shop until they drop for no reason. For no reason. In Islam, this is rejected. And I know it is funny, but it is serious because Allah says, "Inna Allah," listen to me, "Inna Allah la yuhibbul musrifin." If I don't find this ayah in the Quran, I would not have brought the subject. "Inna Allah," Allah certainly does not love those who are over spenders, those who spend excessively. Allah does not love them. This is the extreme. Another extreme, what? Those people who are what? Stingy. This guy who makes good money and his wife is waiting for the expenses for the house. God, every time she wants to ask him for something, he said, "What for? You ate yesterday." What do you mean you're telling me your daughter needs some clothes? You bought? Look, last year, you put $200-$300 on my credit card. Look, man, my daughter grew. What? Leave this to your wife. There's some man who wants to intervene in every little, picky, naughty, little, tiny thing that is none of your concern. You are not good at it. We have a proverb that says, give the dough to the person who knows how to bake, even if you have to take half of the bread. But give it to the people who know how to do it. If you entrust your wife to run the house, you need to listen. You need to work with her. You need to find the priorities. If Allah gives you a ni'mah, don't store it and don't hide it. Use it to its best. And if Allah gave you the excessive money, remember about your wajib towards Allah and do al-khumus. Take what Allah asked you to give. It is called al-zakat, and we were going to talk about it tomorrow, inshallah. Some people, they make good money, they have extra money, and they don't want to give it up, or they don't want to share the wealth with others, or they don't want to take the rights of Allah from it as if that they themselves invented it. And we call it mal, malullah. You went to it with the legs that Allah gave you. You worked with the hands that Allah gave you. You used the brain that Allah gave you. You use the vision that Allah gave you, and Allah tell you, "Let me borrow some of this money, and I promise I'll bring it back to you." Multiply much better than investing with the Wall Street, believe me. Investing with Allah has the best return for you in a dunya and in a So we go back to the position of women, so we don't have to shoot up the subject. Islam, when he talks about the position of women, there were examples that we follow. Here comes Khadija, zawjatu Rasulullah sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Apparently Khadija was a rich woman. She was an important woman. And she had a big trading establishment. And she was looking for an honest, hard-working man. And Abdul Muttalib recommended Muhammad to her. And Muhammad traded with the livestock that Khadija owned. And he made his famous trip And he came back with a bountiful profit. He took the capital, he brought back the profit, not a penny less. Ellen Khadija, you know, every woman who has some common sense, she would love the mu'min. Love the mu'min. Khadija has common sense. She says, Muhammad is a great catch. I'm not going to let him go away. It's okay to think like that. Compete for the mu'min. Do not be overwhelmed by the looks. Some of the people who want to offer their daughters to marriage, they look using the wrong priorities. Give the opportunity for your daughter to meet a mu'min and to marry a mu'min. Why? If he loves her, that's wonderful. If he doesn't love her, he does not commit any zulm against her. He doesn't. Al-mu'min does not commit what? Zulm. Al-mu'min la yazlum. La yazlum al-mu'min. And based on the humble experience that I have in dealing with the brothers and the sisters, there is a big difference between mutadayyin and a mu'min. And the difference between religious and a mu'min, the religious, he knows what needs to be done, but he doesn't do it.
Yes, sir.
Al-mu'min, he knows what needs to be done, and he does it. There's a difference. You see a mu'min, he comes to Karbala, he visits al-Imam al-Hussein, he comes to Ashura, man and woman, they cry, they weep, they pray on time, but in their home, in his way of life, in his dealing with his family, it's a disaster. It's just a piece of anger. There are some brothers, sisters told me they're afraid when he comes home, they're afraid of him. There's some people, some kids, wish their father never come home. There are certain men and certain kids, they don't appreciate their mother because of their behavior. Because of her behavior. You might be surprised when your young child, male or female, reaches 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, they will watch you in everything you do. They will listen to every word you say. And it will stick in their memory. You put a good behavior sincerely, they will adopt. You put a bad behavior foolishly and ignorantly, they will adopt. For this reason, the responsibility when you become a wife and a mother, it's heavy on you. You need to think. You need to think. So when you want to marry, okay, you want to marry a mu'min, if he is good looking, Nurun ala nur, that's plus. If he is rich, alhamdulillah, better than being poor, good. But if you want to marry a man because the way he looks and for the money he has, without looking into his character or his conduct or his iman, you are digging a grave for yourself. And you are putting yourself in a position nobody will be able to help you later unless by a miracle. Al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi said, do not let your daughter marry al-fasiq. What's al-fasiq? By definition, al-fasiq is the person who commits sinful acts openly. Allah denounced al-fasiqin. No? He denounced them. Why? Because he has no fear of Allah, no respect of Allah. He drinks openly. He drinks alcohol openly. And it's not only that, some of those men, they brag about their sins. تَأْخُذُهُمُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ. They feel good about it. See what I've done yesterday? Did I tell you what I've done yesterday? I took the joints and I drove 100 miles an hour. I never stopped on a stop. I went to the nightclub. I did this, I did this, I did this. This is haram. This is not the act of a good man. You cannot entrust your woman, your girl, your sister, your daughter with that kind of men, no matter how rich they are, or no matter how good looking they are. And if you are a Muslim and a mu'min, and if you are a Muslim and a mu'mina, look for the Muslim, is better for you. And if you want to marry a non-Muslim, it's important that you negotiate a hard contract. He needs to be a Muslim. A Muslim man can marry a non-Muslim woman, but a Muslim woman cannot marry a non-Muslim man. No, it is fair. I'll tell you why. This is for your protection. Because most probably when a man marries a woman, she will come to his clan and to his family, and she will take his name, and she will leave his environment. So his kids, they are in danger, not too dangerous to lose their religion. But when you are a Muslim and married to a non-Muslim, he will take you to his clan, to his environment, to his religion. And what Allah says, remember this ayah, tattoo it in your head, since we are living here. وَلَا عَبْدٍ مُؤْمِنٍ خَيْرٌ مِّن مُشْرِكٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكُمْ. Wonderful ayah. For a man, a servant of Allah, who is a believer, is better to you to marry him than a non-believer, even if you fall in love with the non-believer. وَلَا أَمَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن مُشْرِكَةٍ. And a good believer, and a good woman who is a believer, she is a better wife for you than a non-believer, even if you fall in love with her. Why? Allah gave us the answer. Why? أُولَٰئِكَ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى. This course that you take will take you to Jahannam, and the other course will take you to paradise, Al-Jannah. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Do not marry the non-believer. If you want to marry as a man, look for a good mu'mina and marry her, then taribat yadak, Al-Rasul says. Some of you will marry her because of her beauty. Some of you will marry her because of her wealth and her family. And some of you will marry her because of her iman and her akhlaq. And whoever marry her because of her iman or akhlaq, Allah will give him her beauty and her money. منكم من يتزوجها على مالها ومنكم من يتزوجها على جمالها ومنكم من يتزوجها على دينها. فاحظى بذات الدين تربت يداك فإذا تزوجتها على دينها رزقها الله مالها وجمالها. This is the criteria. Is it understood, brothers and sisters? اللهم اشهد إني بلغت. I've been saying this for 20 years and the problem repeats itself. One day somebody will knock at my door with beautiful eyes. What happened? I met this guy and he's abusing me. Who's this guy? Was he a mu'min? No. Did he pray? No. Was he a fasir? Yeah, he used to drink. What do you expect? What do you expect? The same thing for the man. He comes and he says, Mawlana, I can't take it anymore. He says, why? He says, I married this woman, she's doing this and this and this and this. That's not an act of a believer. When you get married to her, was she a believer? She was a Muslim, but she didn't pray. She didn't pray. She didn't fast. She didn't care about hijab. She didn't care about her iman. She didn't care about anything. It is your, listen to me and open your ears, so I could have bara'a al-dhimma amam Allah. You want to marry, and I urge you to marry. As young as you can, get married. But once you want to get married, it is your duty in front of Allah to pick up a good mother. And it is duty in front of Allah to for your unborn children to have a good mother for them. Before they are born, you need to think. And for a marriage, it takes more than love to have a good marriage. It's not only love. It takes more than love to have a good marriage. If you are a mu'min, if you are a mu'mina, and you have the intention, and you get closer to Allah, and Allah will bond your hearts together. When Allah bonds the heart, because mahabba is not up to me or you. It's not up to you or your mom. No, Allah puts al-mahabba in your heart. Why do you love this person and not love this person? He's good, but there's somebody better. You don't love him as much. Why? Because Allah put the bond of al-mahabba. And when Allah knew and knows that these two creatures, for His sake they get together, His blessing will come. And al-barakah will come. No? And I've learned from experience. Marriage, al-hajj, and your residence will come with the blessings of Allah when you have the intention.
Yes, sir.
You put the first step, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. It is recommended for me and you in Ashura nowadays to observe and evaluate your relationship with your wife, and for the wife to re-evaluate her relationship with her husband. Is it based on what Allah wants? Is Allah pleased with this relationship? Why? Allah asked us to do something. Allah telling us, let your soul, let your character make yourself responsible for your actions. The first of Muharram is the beginning of Al-Hijra year, right? It is important. Just like it is important for you at the end of your fiscal year to observe how much money you made, how much money you lost. Was it a good year? Was it a bad year? It's important for you to observe. What have you done for the sake of Allah? The year passed by. Was it a good year for you? Did you do well and to say Alhamdulillah? Did you notice you made mistakes and sinful acts to say Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh? Are there certain haqooq you need to give it, whether to your wife, to your mother, to your father, to your neighbor, to your friend? Are there certain forgiveness you need to display because you have transgressed towards the others? This is the kind of things we need to think about every day, every month, and every year. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Wajjal faraju.
We go back to the position of woman again. Under these circumstances, Islam came and made a revolution. And he says, Al-Mu'mina haram for Al-Mu'mina to marry Al-Mushrik and Al-Kafir. And haram for Al-Mu'min to marry Al-Mushrik or Al-Kafir. You and men, you cannot marry a Mushrik kaf or a Kafir. حُرِّمَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. You can't. Okay? The second thing that is most important, it is very important to educate ourselves about al-halal and al-haram. Because Allah loves al-mu'mineen who are knowledgeable. The most and the most reverent value in the eyes of Allah is knowledge. And the method to know Allah truly is to have what? Knowledge. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ هُوَ الْعُلَمَاء. Allah says, the most fearful of Allah and the most obedient to Allah are the knowledgeable one. So you need to seek knowledge so you can teach your children. How could you teach something you do not have? How can you give something you don't own? It is very important. In this center, it is very important to be patient for the all negative behavior displayed by some of the people as long as your children are learning. Since you don't give them the opportunity to learn, they will teach you what they learn here. Yes, children, we learn from the children. You should learn. Don't think that education and a tarbiyah is moving information from a bigger box, us into a smaller box, the children. No, you will be amazed what the children can teach. You will be amazed what the children can teach. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa
alihi.
Learn from the children three things. You could learn from the children a lot, but learn from the three, at least three things. One is consistency in nagging. In what sense? When you want to do a dua,
nag.
You want to nag? Nag to Allah. Yeah. Yeah. One of the friends one time I was telling him, please make dua for me. And he says, no. This is dua express.
Dua express.
Be consistent with the dua. Persistent in a dua. Why? Learn from the children. The child come and tell you, I need a lollipop. Okay, later. A lollipop. I want a lollipop. Works like that, no? Just want peace. Take a lollipop from you. The child wants to go into a room, he knocks at the door, not once, not twice. If you are inside alone and the child is knocking, he will knock until you open it. When you make a dua, knock until the door is
open.
Subhanallah.
And Allah loves that.
Ahsan.
And Allah asks you to do that. And do not feel arrogant with Allah. Ya ayyuha al-insan ma gharraka bi rabbika al-kareem. What do you think? You are better than Allah. You are better than Allah. Astaghfirullah. You feel what? You feel, oh, I'm not up to right now. No, cry. Cry. Talk in any language. You speak Urdu, talk in Urdu. Nag in Urdu. Nag in Persian. Nag in non-verbal communication. Go. In any system, as long as you're sincere and you nag. If you keep knocking the doorway, and Allah tells us, promise, anytime a mu'min raises his hand for a dua, and he loves you, he's not going to answer you that way. Allah, because he loves you, because he knows, if he answers you right away, you're going to turn away and say goodbye to him for a while. He says, Ya Malaikati, do not fulfill the need of this servant because I miss his voice. I want to hear it. You cannot come to him without needing him. You are coming to him because you need him and he likes it. The proper way is to come to him regardless of the need, regardless of the fear, but if you come to him because of the need and because of the fear, Allah loves it and wants you to do it. But the higher form of ibadah is ibadah to Ali, alayhi salam. Rabbi, my Lord, I did not worship you because I'm interested in your heaven. Nor I worship you because I am fearful of your Jahannam. Rabbi, I am worshipping you because I know you are worthy of that worship. مَا عَبَدْتُكَ خَوْفًا مِنْ نَارِكْ وَلَا طَمَعًا فِي جَنَّتِكْ وَجَدْتُكَ أَهْلًا لِلْعِبَادَ فَعَلًا. This is ibadatul ahrar. Free ibadah. And it's true. And a lot of the believers have that feeling. They just love Allah. They love Allah. How could you not love Allah? Someone would do something good for you. Some wonderful act. Once, you will never forget about them for the rest of your life. And nobody has done good to you better than Allah. And if you want to know what Allah has done to you, again, I urge you to read Dua al-Imam al-Hussein, the day of Arafah. See what Allah has done for you. Read. I don't see any watch here. How much time I have?
9:37.
So how much time I have left?
As much as you want.
Another hour. No, 25 minutes.
How long does he talk?
As much as you want.
Wow.
It's been an hour already.
I am supposed to speak only for 55 minutes. It's been an hour.
That's on the mic.
With your permission, if you can give me 10, 15 minutes, I highly appreciate it. I would rather.
Yes. Brother Haj Barakat, that's on the mic.
Okay.
55 minutes on the mic.
As long as you want without it.
You don't have a mic. Wow.
Al-Imam Ali alayhi salam was sitting with the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Rasul posed the following question. He says, what is the best ni'mah that Allah gave you? What is the most reverent ni'mah that Allah gave you? One companion says, oh, he gave me good health. He says, this is a ni'mah, but it's not the best. Second, he says, he gave me good wealth. The other guy said, plenty of children. The other guy said, good wife. The other guy said, good property. Al-Rasul went to Al-Imam, Ya Aba al-Hasan, what's the answer? What's your answer? He says, the best and the most valuable ni'mah that Allah gave me that He created. And the ni'mah that is more than the ni'mah of creation, He guided me to Him and to you. And He created me in your time zone, mu'min. And this is a ni'mah that we, me and you have. Imagine if we are not a Muslim. I went to Taipei and I was walking in the street and I wept and I said to Allah, Alhamdulillah that He made me a Muslim. When you see how people are living outside the spectrum of Islam, you would notice the difference. And you would say, Alhamdulillah, I am a Muslim. And Alhamdulillah, I am a mu'min. Do not take your iman and your Islam for granted, protect it, work at it, improve it by purifying yourself and purifying your act. And we want to take advantage of Ashura in order to come back to Allah with the love for Him and the love for His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa
alayhi.
And through the love of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, we need to come all together and do a tawbah for Allah. We ask Allah forgiveness. We ask Allah repentance. That's what you say in English, no? Repentance. What are the consequences? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّهُ التَّوَّابِينَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Allah certainly loves those people who ask for forgiveness and they ask for repentance. And those who are tawwabin, yani every time they face a situation where they fail, they get up, rejuvenate their effort, ask Allah for forgiveness and keep going. Allah loves that. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu tubu ila Allahi tawbatan. Nasuha, serious one. Make it now. An Ashura. Make a tawbah ila Allah. Come to Him. As a consequences of a tawbah, Allah will wash all your sins. When Allah knows the sincerity that's coming from you to Him in forgiveness and at tawbah, He will wash all the bad pages. You will start fresh, like a morning sun. And it's not only that. If your tawbah is followed, listen, is followed by a good deeds, Allah will change all your bad deeds into good deeds. يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. As Allah says, يُبَدِّلْ, Allah will exchange. This is an incredible investment. This is an incredible benefit. يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. And the most important thing, Allah Himself will take good care of you. هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَلِّي عَلَيْكُمْ. I have never in my life known anyone better than Allah. Created me, gave me everything I want. You know, most of us, we are immigrants here, right? When we are living under pressure in our countries, oh God, help me out, I need to get out of here. Then, give your wish, you went out. Oh God, stop. Okay, this is university, just stop. I need to pay my tuition, okay? This is a financial aid. I need to graduate. So graduate. I need a job. This is a job.
Need to get married.
I need a woman to marry. This is a woman.
To have children.
I need children. Okay? Children, this is children. I need a car, this is a car. I need a house, this is a house. I need to be protected, respectable. وَأَيْخَاكُمْ مِنْ قَرِبًا. Observe. Anytime you suffer from a problem, Allah solves it. You forget about it. You don't even say it. You take things for granted. We wake up in America without thinking twice about anything, and we go to the shower, the water is hot. In Dallas, the weather is cold, but the water is hot. We never take the moment and say, Alhamdulillah for the hot water. Why? Because I went to Africa, and there are Muslims in Africa. In order for them to take a shower, it is the project of the day, the project of the week, the project of the month, the project of the year. You have to go distance, cut the wood, bring the wood, heat the water, and take a shower. And when they take a shower, they go pray because it was a big project. And the water will be reused. And you open the faucets, you never thought, twice. Say Alhamdulillah. Am I right or am I right?
You're right.
You get up in the morning and you're looking at the mirror. And you are thinking, how much money I'm going to make today? What should I do today? You never take the moment to look and see about the miracle in the mirror. Why? You need to know about yourself. If you know yourself, you know. أعرف نفسك تعرف. If you know yourself, you know God. And Allah is asking you, observe yourself. It amazes me when some of the sisters and the brothers, they look for the miracles, they want to see the miracles everywhere else outside their lives while they are themselves the living miracle, the sitting miracle, the sleeping miracle, the talking miracle. You are the miracle. You ever thought when you look at the mirror, oh my God, why my eyes are horizontal and not vertical? How many people observe this? Why my nose is downward, not upward? Have you ever seen a man, his nose is upward? Why my eyebrows are above my eye? I've never seen a man, his eyebrows below his eye. Why your hand bound inwardly? Why your legs bound outwardly? You ever observe the heart that you have? It is your heart, not mine. It is yours, but you don't know that much about it. And it's working around the clock. You ever thought who is running it? If you are not running it, somebody else is running it. You have a brain, you don't know Jack Dizzy about it. You have veins, you have not least the knowledge how it functions. This is the miracle. This is the thought. This is the tafkir, that it's equivalent to years of ibadah. Think and observe and don't forget about Allah. And do a tawbah with action. And we finalize this discussion by remembering Al-Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi. I have a special love for this man because he's an excellent example for those who are in destitute. Imagine how beautiful the moment is when someone wake up. I used to curse a cousin, a relative of mine, and I used to mistreat him because of his sinful act. But when I found that this man made an incredible tawbah, and then he changed his life, and then he changed his way of living, and then he changed his behavior. Al-Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, his command, his orders were to follow Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam on the way to Karbala. He didn't know that it will come to killing Al-Imam. He never thought and imagined in his own mind that someone in this ummah will dare to kill Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Al-Imam is an extension of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By unanimously among all al-Ummah, Al-Hasan wal-Husayn, Sayyida Shababi Ahl al-Jannah. Al-Hasan wal-Husayn, Imamani, they are leaders. Qama aw Qa'da, whether they rule or they did not rule, they are still legitimate a'imma. No? Al-Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi with 1,000 men told Al-Imam al-Husayn, I cannot let you go, my order is to follow you. But you notice, he would pray a salat with Al-Imam. Huh? And then, when Amr ibn 20, some stories say 30,000 soldiers surrounded him, and they came to Al-Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, and they relieved him from his command, and released him from his responsibility. And Al-Hurr realized the dangerous and the sensitivity of the situation. And he says to Amr ibn Sa'd, what are you doing with this man? He says, my orders from Al-Khalifa, I'm not going to let him go. Either he gives Al-Bay'ah to Yazid, or it is war and we shall kill him. Did you dare to kill the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi? He says, yes, because he is not obeying Al-Khalifa. Then, Al-Hurr ibn Yazid al-Riyahi observed the gravity of the situation. Look at Tawbah, what does that mean? Look at Al-Iman when it acts at its best. He took a position by himself on the side. And he raised his hand to the sky, he says, Ya Rabbi, forgive me, I didn't know that it's going to come to that. For I know, doing what they are doing is Ghadabullah and Jahannam. And he says, what I have done. He felt the consequences of his responsibility. What did he do? He asked Allah al-Istighfar. He asked Allah in Tawbah. Did he leave? Did he run away? Did he forsake Al-Imam? It's a losing situation, you know. Military-wise, it's a losing battle. Many people versus the few. Sometimes when you are facing a battle and you lose, it doesn't mean you lost a war. And it doesn't mean it is bad for you. As long as you do your takleef and you do your responsibility, leave the outcome for Allah. He came humbly and with a humility alone to Al-Imam on the day of the battle, the very first day, and he said, the tenth of Al-Ashir, last day, and he says, Ya Aba Abdullah, can I speak to you? Salaam alaykum wa rahmatullah. He said, I feel terrible. I'm the one who brought you to this situation. My orders was to be with you. Wallahi, I didn't know that it's going to come to this situation, and I don't know what to say to you. Is there any way you could forgive me? هَلْ مِنْ تَوْبَى يَبْنَ رَسُولِهِ
No.
Is it possible that you forgive me? Is it possible that Allah will accept my repentance? And Al-Imam Hussein alayhi salam smiled and he says to him, يَا حُرْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ Allah will accept your tawbah. And Allah will forgive you because I forgive you. Can you think of a man who would forgive someone in this situation like that? While his family is with him? His kids is with him? No? On one of the caravans to Al-Hajj, some people made Al-Kufr to Allah because they had some difficulty. Take me now to the United States. I can't take it. Or this guy who is responsible for the caravan made some mistake. May Allah not forgive you ever. Allah let's have Allah. May Allah this. Learn from Al-Imam Hussein how to forgive. And learn from Allah how to accept a tawbah. So when your brother and sister come and they offer you their dignity in front of you and say to you, forgive me, open your heart and open your mind and forgive her. And forgive each other. Yes, I forgive you. Go! Al-Imam, go! No. See, a tawbah need to be followed by what? Correction and action. He says, I brought you to this situation and you accept my tawbah and you want me to go. No, I will not go. I will clean my act. Allow me to be the first person to defend. He turned his horse and he left his army. And interesting the conversation he had with his commander, the lower commander. He looked at him and he saw him shaking. And the tears are coming out. He says, Ya Hur, What I know about you, you are the most brave man that I've known. He says, you don't understand. I see Jahannam and I see Al-Jannah. I see Ghadabullah and I see Ridallah. And he turns face and he goes, he corrected the action. He corrected the sinful act. He corrected the mistake. And he insisted, and he was the first man to have a shahada for the sake of Allah. And Allah accepted him as a clean, pure shaheed. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم إني أسألك بجلال وجهك وبقدسية أسمائك وبأحب صفاتك اللهم إني أسألك بجودك وكرمك إلا غفرت لي ذنوبي وسترت عليها عيوبي وقبلت توبتي أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه من جميع ظلمي وجرمي وإسرافي على نفسي يا من يقبل اليسير ويعفو عن الكثير اقبل منا اليسير واعفو عنا الكثير يا الله يا الله المؤسسون لهذا المركز يا الله تغمدهم برحمتك اللهم فرج عنا وعن كل مؤمن ومؤمنة اللهم اغفر ذنوبنا اللهم فرج همومنا اللهم اغننا من فضلك وتب علينا واعف عنا اللهم شافي مرضانا اللهم فك اسرانا ولا تدع لنا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة إلا قضيتها ويسرتها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين
صل على محمد وآل محمد السلام